Last year, Adam and I and a few hundred friends of DeSoto gathered in the Masonic Lodge inside a cemetery in the heart of Hollywood. Were we there to practice some dark rite? Some sinister ritual designed to bring deceased Star Trek actors back to the plane of the living? To bring an unholy horde of undead nerd celebrities to Earth to consume the brains of the living? No, we were just doing our live show of the Share Your Embarrassment Tour. It's our review of Star Trek V, and we filmed it. We just wanted to let you know to get ready for that live stream announcement coming next week. If you're a Max Fun member and you support our shows, you'll get access to discounted tickets from membership at MaximumFun.org. So, good time to make sure those emails are delivering properly to your inbox. Either way, we'll be announcing ticket links soon here and on our mailing list that you can sign up for at podshop.biz. The Share Your Embarrassment Tour is coming to your living room for one last stop, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Captain?
Not here.
Captain?
Report.
Signatures detected.
Shields up.
Signatures detected.
Red alert.
Context Starfleet Command.
What's happened?
Context Starfleet Command.
Delay that order.
Context Starfleet Command.
This is the captain.
Context Starfleet Command.
Get out of my chair. Chair.
We have engaged the Klingons.
Welcome to The Greatest Discovery. It's a new Star Trek podcast from the makers of The Greatest Generation. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison. Oh, is that my beer?
Oh, it is your beer. It is...
Thanks, JK. Oh, look, there's a third person here.
Look who's here.
He's been in my hotel room the whole time.
We are at the Rio Hotel in Vegas for Star Trek Las Vegas, and we're here with our buddy JK Woodward.
Hell yeah.
Cue the beer.
We have got three very tired conventioneers on the Sunday of Star Trek Las Vegas, just barely holding it together.
It is impossible to explain the level of fatigue you feel at a Star Trek convention on a Sunday.
What you can do is you see it. You see it in people's eyes.
Yeah.
The thousand-yard stare. Yeah. The Pike stare.
Yeah.
We were talking to our buddy Bill Tilly, who booked himself an eight-day Star Trek Las Vegas trip. Is that about as long as you're going to be here as well?
I got here Wednesday.
Okay.
Which some years it's always different. Some years I'll be here for the whole thing, and other years I'll just stop in for a day because it's an hour flight from Long Beach. But yeah, this year I got in on Wednesday, and it's not just during the day that's exhausting. Is you end up staying up all night and getting up early to see the events, and I've probably had 4 hours sleep since I've been here.
Wow.
Amazing.
Do you often get sick during or after conventions like these?
You can kind of hear it in my voice right now.
Yeah.
I thought you were just doing that for radio.
But there's an excitement, that kind of keeps you jazzed, and it just kind of runs out on Sunday.
Not a ton of news at the convention this year. It seemed like they kind of blew their load at Comic-Con for Star Trek news, but I guess it's possible that there's news breaking right now downstairs and we don't know about it.
Today's the big discovery day of the convention.
Yeah. So if you're listening and there was a major discovery, I don't know. I think that the trailer is definitely a possibility, right?
The season three trailer? Yeah, it would seem likely.
When is that? Wait, we can do this. After this, we can go down there and see that.
I'm going to check. I was checking Twitter anyway, but maybe I'll look up to see if any of that is dropped. Yeah.
I saw the Picard panel yesterday.
Yeah, the Picard panel is cool. Yeah. It was...
Had Jonathan Frakes... who's that guy that played Hugh? Oh, I guess he's going to have a big role
Jonathan
in this.
Jonathan Del Arco.
Yes, he was there, and of course, Jerry Ryan.
Yeah.
And I found out they're all going to be on the cruise, which I'm super stoked about.
Oh, man.
I didn't know that. I knew Jerry was, and Jonathan Frakes, if he's not busy, he's famous for being called out to conventions and then not showing up. He's a director now, so his schedule is a little more hectic than everybody else. So hopefully they'll all be there.
Yeah.
It sounds really good. And they showed the trailer again, and it's fun seeing that live.
They seem to have a lot of really positive energy coming out of working on that show, and... it sounds like they're still in production. He was saying that he's got a big scene with Picard that they're shooting this week. So that's wild to think about that they kick off work and come to Vegas to promote their show that they're going to be debuting later
that's
this
Star
year.
Star Trek,
a show that they're promoting with one hand tied behind their back too.
Well, Jonathan Frakes was actually wearing a shirt saying, don't even ask me, I signed an NDA, because he famously screwed up with the Mirror Universe stuff before. But yeah, they're all really sensitive about that.
They did a great thing this time around where I think Jerry Ryan told a story of what it was like to be in production on the show, like telling production stories that are not related to the story of the season, I think is an effective way to entertain.
Yeah.
And her story of wearing the giant Little Red Riding Hood like cloak.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
And being hidden in golf carts with blackout curtains. Like, that's great stuff that you can talk about.
Because they've been shooting all over Los Angeles
She let it slip that they were filming on Universal City Walk, and I'm trying to figure out how that... I mean, is the monkey going to be in there?
That's a real head scratcher.
Yeah, I know. I can't figure out how that's going to work, but yeah.
They went to...
What does Wetzel's Pretzels have to do with the 24th century?
There's a sexy sex guy in this new Picard video.
And every once in a while, water just shoots up from the sidewalk.
Yeah. I mean, the 24th century is not quite what I had pictured. We haven't spent a lot of time on Earth in the 24th century, but a lot of schlocky, corny outdoor malls are still
in full effect. It's nothing but Creole restaurants and water shooting up out of the sidewalk.
And that was like the panel that everybody said, like, don't miss that because somebody might show up, a certain someone, and no peace due on that panel. No.
There was a surprise guest at the doctor panel, though, before that one.
Wilson Cruz was there. Yeah, he ended up being a late addition.
Because, he was supposed to go to his brother's wedding in France, and he didn't get the flight in time, he said, I'll screw it, I'll go to Las
Vegas. Heard that he was at the convention because he... was missing his brother's wedding. He missed the flight to his brother's wedding. And I was like, come on, Wilson, like get a different flight. But then he explained it like, oh, it was like a connection in Iceland to the south of France to get to, to like Geneva. And I was like, oh, like that is actually like a mission killer if you miss that flight.
It's not hard to get somebody to say, fuck it, I'm going to Vegas. But that certainly.
Right.
Oh, we don't swear. Do we swear on the show?
Yes.
We swear. Okay.
Most of it.
Okay.
It really,
just as an experiment, we edited all the swear words out of one episode, and it was like 3 minutes long. So we figured, leave them in. That's content, baby.
We actually used to do that on our podcast for comic effect. Just put the bleeps in.
Yeah. Or,
so you only hear like words a sentence.
That doctor panel was kind of a surprise highlight for me. It was every single living...
What about when LeVar came up and asked a question?
That was also a real highlight. I mean...
His question, not spoilers, his question...
More of a comment than a question.
Yeah. When they pushed him for a question, he asked for $20.
Do you need a special pass to ask a question, or can anyone ask a question at the con?
I honestly don't know because I always have these VIP passes.
You get the big pass.
So I have no limits. Yeah, so I never, I don't know. I'm kind of a big deal. I don't have to ask those questions.
I know. It's hard to make time with you, JK, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
It's so weird you were free at 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
Yeah. Well, you said you had beer, so.
Yeah.
We did have beer. Yeah, we took the conventioneering part pretty easy this year. We only went in the one day. We spent a lot of the first day we were here just doing pool hangs.
Right. That is a really fun first day thing to do.
Yeah.
In Vegas in general, and I think specifically with the convention, is to get outside that first day, make it about like meeting up with your pals.
Yeah.
And
you're still at the Star Trek convention, even at the pool. You'll still see Klingons walk by.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
This is like the cruise. You're immersed in it wherever you go.
Yeah.
It's weird how different 110 degrees feels at the pool. It was not oppressive.
Yeah.
I would say it was just right.
Yeah. And it's not often that I really appreciate a very cold pool.
Yeah.
But I really dug that about this pool.
Yeah.
they have a pool party on Monday, sort of like, so you can come down from the convention and just chill. I did it for the first time last year, and I swear they must like drop a block of ice every hour in the pool. I don't know how they do it.
I thought for sure that we were staying for that because I thought it was Sunday. Now I'm positive next year I want to stay through Monday to do the pool party because I've heard it's just a riot.
It's just, it's all the conventioneers out there drinking and hanging out by the pool all day.
Yeah.
That's it. It's perfect.
That sounds great.
It's a perfect way to end a convention.
Maybe that's the move next year. We bookend the pool hangs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, we came to to hit the convention and to record some pod, and we have some exciting stuff in the can.
Yeah.
But we also came to write our next tour, which we'll be doing in the fall. So it does feel like a work trip for us also. So getting to just like block out some like really chill pool time was clutch.
I think one of the highlights for me was meeting up with a bunch of friends at DeSoto at the Tiki Bar.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it was kind of a spontaneous hang, I would say.
Oh, the Masquerade Bar. Yeah, that was great.
I feel like there were like 20 or 30 people there that were our gang.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun.
It was a little hard to tell who, like, because like everybody else here, they just kind of are part of the convention crowd. So it's just a bunch of people with Romulan loaf and, you know, different Federation uniforms and stuff. And you're looking at the bar, you're like, wow, we really filled this thing up. We should have had a live show.
or did you?
It's like, maybe we didn't.
I think I did that last year is at a similar meetup. I introduced myself to someone who wasn't there to see me. Yeah. Not great.
This was
kind of a big deal. Adam, yeah. How you doing? What?
This was a much better year for people saying hi to us, though.
Yeah.
I feel like when we came last year to the con, like I don't think anybody recognized us, or if they did, they did not. Say hi.
It's going to change exponentially every convention.
Yeah,
that worked that way with me. You know, I'd been doing Star Trek comics for a while, but I wasn't doing conventions. If you start coming, they start knowing your face, and then the people will come up to you all the time, and it's
right.
great.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Was there a specific book that changed everything for you? Like
City on the Edge of Forever,
that
without
was it?
A doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. Probably my best work. I don't know if I'll ever... I think I may have peaked. not only
it's
because...
It's good you get that over with.
Yeah, I know. It's all downhill from here. Enjoy
you haven't peaked, JK. Tell them about the new book you're working on.
Okay, yeah. This is pretty exciting. We're doing Mirror Voyager, finally. That was the only thing that hasn't had the treatment after TNG.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. It's a very different feel from the first Mirror Broken book or any other Mirror Universe stuff, because it is taking place in the Delta Quadrant. And she's known as Janeway's known as the Pirate Queen of the Delta Quadrant.
Nice.
Cool.
And they're just
like marauding
the shit out of
amazing.
That place.
Does Chakotay's tattoo wrap around his dong?
He didn't have a tattoo in this. I wanted to go full like Apache warrior.
Whoa,
with a red
yeah.
bandana and everything, yeah. like in long hair. I was going to do the John Redcorn thing. Every time he talked, his hair would blow in the wind.
Every time Janeway throws a dead body at his feet, like a single tear.
yeah, they told me to just lay off that a little bit. So
yeah, for good reason.
For good reason.
Other than that, the characters I created for this were characters I had created over and over again before doing commissions.
Oh, fun.
Because people would come up and say, well, I want to see what Voyager looks like. And so I knew there was a market for this.
Yeah.
People are going to go nuts when they see this. My German friend showed it to Kate Mulgrew, and she loved it.
Because
I gave
her
those Ronda,
cool.
Ronda Rousey arms, like the big shoulders and the big biceps and everything. Yeah,
yeah.
That's got to feel so great to get that feedback from the actors.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get addicted to it. Because one day, I told you the Brent Spiner story, I think, where he just came up to me at a convention in Edmonton. He just wanted to meet me because he just loved the way I drew his arms in the book.
Wow.
He started telling me the story. He's been working with a trainer for 6 years and he just can't put any meat on his bones.
Wow.
And then that just evolved into a conversation about Patrick Stewart coming from like a long line of coal miners, and he's just physically fit without doing anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. The genetics help.
He's got like the epigenetics of a strongman.
But it's just so weird to have a conversation with fucking Data like that about Patrick Stewart's arms. I mean, it's...
That
was the most surreal moment in my life.
Yeah. What kind of gains are you putting on, Data?
What do you bench, bro?
Yeah. That's really great. I mean, like, as a convention regular, do you start to get the zup from the actors and stuff? Do they like recognize you the way the fans do?
It's funny because I introduce myself every year.
Yeah,
like I just did on the cruise. I just did this fundraiser for the Planetary Society, and I worked directly with Robert Picardo the whole time.
Yeah.
By the end of the cruise, we were on first name basis and everything.
Cool.
He sees me here, and he's like, "Okay, so you are?"
Yeah,
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Who am I? I'm the guy that raised $6,000 for you. But, it happens a lot, and you learn not to take it personally because I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I meet the same people over and over again, but you see them once a year, and you have to make a hell of an impression on somebody to remember
That's
them.
Great point, TJ. I feel the same way.
TJ?
I've for sure put my foot in my mouth at live shows of ours with, you know, people that I know that I've met before.
It happens, though. It's
are like, hey,
normal.
You've been in a couple of our shows, and they're like, nope.
Yeah.
Oh, the other way.
I mean, like, every version. I've been bad in every way. I'm just not good at this.
Yeah. I always remember people when they tell me the story.
Right.
You know, like, I don't recognize the face or the name. There's
but the context is more memorable.
The second they start talking. Right. And to be fair to Robert Picardo, the second I told him I was the artist on the cruise, he remembered me.
Yeah.
But he just, you know, he doesn't remember the face or the name. And I'm horrible with both those things.
Yeah. You gave him $6,000 to jog his memory. And he's like, oh, you.
You need to keep doing that.
Do I need to be standing next to a nacho cheese fountain for you to remember me?
Do I need to be have my mouth open under a free soft serve machine on the pool deck?
Yeah, one of the things you keep telling us about is how much fun the cruise is.
Yes. Oh, my God.
How does that compare to a Star Trek Las Vegas or a Comic-Con as far as the hang goes?
Well, there's a lot more access to... They're just among us. Yeah. They're just walking around. I ran into Casey Biggs at a bar.
Yeah.
You just run into these guys or by the pool. They have their own deck that you have to have a special card to get up to, so they can always go home and get away from it all if they want.
Yeah. Right.
But they come down and they eat at the same restaurants. They hang out at the same place. It's basically you're trapped on a floating hotel with all these people.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. And it's inundated with Trek. I mean, even when you go back to your room, you know, there's two channels of TV, Star Trek TV shows, Star Trek movies.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can... 4 o'clock in the morning when you're high on cocaine, you just watch the Star Trek shows.
That's great to hear. I would say if there's one enduring criticism I have for this convention specifically is like you go in with the expectation that it would be skinned with Star Trek stuff, the hotel or the signage.
It's really just
anything.
The convention part.
Yeah.
Once you get there, it's Star Trek land. Once you get out, other than seeing like people in cosplay on the casino floor,
they don't
deck it out in Star Trek the way they do. They don't pander to us the way I got used to from San Diego Comic-Con.
Exactly, you know? Yeah.
But you think all the bar TVs would have Star Trek on.
It seems like a real missed opportunity, too. Like, there seems to be like somebody from the hotel realized that the like soft swirl ice cream machine in the hallway on the way to the convention center could be
Jim
Star
Trek
up a little bit, but they just like printed some stuff off their computer and like taped a picture of Kira over
the frozen yogurt thing. I didn't know what that was.
It was Ketracel thick with two C's. But like that is seen as next level thinking here is bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Like I
guess
they
don't
need
should be way more developed as like a visual experience, and also you should be able to order stuff that is like, you know, Quark's bar-ish. Like you should be able to get
snail
juice.
Well, they do have a Quark's bar that does have that.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to be operating
ever. But yeah, they just
ever.
Serve Corona. They don't serve Romulan ale or...
Yeah,
you know.
And like there's 10 forward, but you can just look at it. Like it's, and that seems like a real shame.
Like how much would a pipe and drape setup be that for the drape, it just is like a scene of the promenade...
Right.
In soft focus or something. Like these are things that are not great expenses that would more than incrementally add to like the look and feel of the thing.
Yeah,
it seems like the convention, and this isn't knocking it at all, is like more interested in your experience with other people and your access than it is about feeling like you're in a place.
Yeah, and in that way, it's a lot different from the cruise.
Yeah,
because all the bars on the cruise, they're called, they change the names of all the bars, so it's Captain's Lounge,
or
13 Forward, because it's on the forward part of the 13th deck.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
You know, so you feel like you're on the Enterprise more than you are a cruise ship.
That is one thing about a cruise ship that is like, oh, this is kind of what like a starship must feel like.
Yeah.
This is
what it must be like to me. That's all I was thinking about when, you know, first thing I did was wanted to see the bridge, and they have this like museum thing and then a glass wall on the fourth wall. And behind the glass wall is the actual bridge. And you get to watch these guys work.
Cool.
And
I said,
yeah, it was so cool. I was like snapping photos just because when am I going to see this again?
Yeah.
Right. And also I might need it as a reference someday for Star Trek. I don't know. In Star
the
Trek
Mirror
Underwater.
Universe Cruise comic book.
Don't laugh. We're doing one.
Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure I was supposed to say that.
We can beep that out.
You heard it here first, folks.
No.
This is news breaking pod, yeah, Adam. We're not beeping shit.
No, you got that. You got that out of me.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you for the beer.
All it took was morning whiskey and morning beer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, JK showed up with a liter of Irish whiskey.
Yeah, but to be fair, I bought it on Wednesday.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, and it's much better just walk around the casino floor with a glass.
Is that a liter and a half? That's a big bottle.
Yeah, it's a huge bottle.
I think you've done a great job with your drinking at the con. I would say personally, I've leaned into sugary drinks more than I ever thought I would, like lots of pina coladas.
Everybody was rocking the pina colada. Would you guys start that?
Delicious.
It was a good pina colada. I think that the...
But I mean, everybody else started drinking it too. I thought it was just you two. And then like, I was like, am I not getting the joke?
No, somebody else got it and said it was good. So I ordered one. And
Ben, you often are the first to order a drink and that really sets the tone for whoever we're with. And often it is a big blended drink like that.
Yeah.
And it's very inspiring.
Well, I mean, this is of course the year that we put Hoofgate to bed.
That's right.
Because we both got big purple zebra hooves and walked around the convention floor, and we were having hurricanes because in my estimation, the pina colada from the zebra bar was a little too sweet.
Yeah.
But the hurricane was pretty nice.
It was. It was very, and it felt extremely boozy. We filled up the hooves and then rolled into the merch room at the convention. And by the time we got there, I feel like we were done just right.
Yeah. We were like, like half a hoof is enough to get you up to drunk. And then
we did
the other half is like, oh boy.
We did a really cool interview there after we were done with the hooves. And it was...
that interview with the after
it was
a hoof?
It was a surprise.
Yeah.
It was as soon as we got there almost, we were told we got this interview. And then we went out and did it. And there was no time to even think.
Yeah.
And
well, it's best not to.
It was pretty wild because we like went like behind, like, you know, backstage to do it, and we actually went outside where like employees of the convention center go to smoke.
Doesn't that backstage area look like a Borg ship?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You know, like it has all these pipes.
All the pipes are exposed. There's a lot of industrial refrigeration units and stuff. Yeah.
It was a fun way to go into an interview. Like,
yeah.
I don't do that very much professionally, like be hammered pre-interview.
Yeah.
But I think it went well.
I never not do that. You know how many drunken interviews? You guys were there for one of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Did I seem like I was in any shape to do an interview?
Holding it together.
It all somehow works out.
Yeah.
I would say that the thing that was perhaps coolest about going out there for me was that was where a lot of the stars were coming in. So
yeah,
we saw Nichelle Nichols get out of a black SUV, and then that SUV went away, and then another one came, and Kate Mulgrew got out of it. I was like trying to hold it together. I was like, I am surrounded by great, great actors. This is amazing.
It makes you feel important.
Yeah.
It does. In 2015, I actually was an official guest of the convention, not of CBS or IDW. Mm-hmm. So I had green room access.
Oh, wow.
I got to go like a lot more than what this pass actually gets you.
Wow.
And, it was just amazing just to walk into
the
green room and there's
Patrick. Plug pass.
Yeah. But Patrick Stewart does actually drink tea. I walked in the green room, and he's just sitting there drinking tea, and I was like, I knew it.
You just stick your phone in his face and
but
take a picture.
It's fun seeing them in the wild, in their natural habitat.
They seem to all like get along really well, minus Shatner. Like, it seems like all of the actors are like...
Okay, can I tell you... probably shouldn't tell this green room story.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
They're going to stop inviting me if I keep doing this. But I was at Star Trek Destination.
Nobody listens to this, JK.
So I was at Birmingham for the Destination green room, and they had a special part of the green room walled off just for Shatner.
Wow.
And he would eat his meals in there. Everybody else is hanging out, talking to each other, just kind of bonding in. He's like, he wanted no part of it. He had his own little room. And I was just like, that really bums me out.
The sports version of that is being called a bad locker room guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's Bill Shatner, huh? Wow.
I guess, or I think he might.
If they let him out with the regular, with the Gen Pop, he'd be giving everybody rat tails. His wet bath towel.
That being said, he was a nice guy. He was nice to me and everything.
Yeah,
he just likes to eat alone, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
And they just accommodate him.
Yeah.
Know?
Well.
But it just, it's a little sad.
He's probably got more money than all of them put together, right?
Yeah.
He just gets to get
By
what
far.
He wants.
Well, he's probably also, he's like the original cast, he's over it.
Yeah.
You know, he's been doing it for years. Discovery people are coming in and they're young and they're excited and this is their first thing and it's a whole different vibe. He probably finds that kind of distasteful or something. I know I would, you know, after a while you get, you know, like this was his job. He's an 80-year-old man. This was his job when he was a kid.
Yeah.
You know.
Hearing Jonathan Delarco on stage the other day talk about, you know, he had a recurring role on TNG and he like from back in the audience, he looks super young. Like I was like, he looks like a little younger than me. And I don't understand how he was like
Dick Clark syndrome or something.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I didn't even know who it was at first. And then I was like, oh, that's that Hugh kid. I thought it was like a new guy for the show or something.
But it seems like he has a very substantial role in the new Picard series. And he was talking about how like he felt like his convention half-life was coming pretty close to being over, and now he's hit the 10-year reset button because he's in the new series.
That was great. That needed to be said too. They never talk about that.
Yeah,
your career goes on this like weird life support if you're in any kind of genre,
right?
Because you can always do the convention circuit and that'll sustain you. They make good money,
right,
doing these things.
No, their appearance fees are pretty handsome, and then what they make off of,
but that all dries up if you don't get a new role,
so, right?
You know, like because there's a place between nostalgia, where you can have like Wilma from Buck Rogers, we'll all pay to see that, but if you've just been on Star Trek like a Hugh role and you don't reset, that would have ended for him.
I'm sure you feel that as a person who's a part of conventions like this, based on your location inside the room, like your table gets further and further away from...
Depends on the world I'm working on. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was on City Audience Forever, I got like a much better treatment at conventions than I did if I hadn't done anything for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like if I'm working for some indie company nobody's heard of.
That first year, your table's next to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That could be advantageous.
We forgot your table. We can put you right here in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. And I mean, I imagine it's got to be a real double-edged sword as an actor, because like people still really care about, you know, like I saw the girl who was a Q and didn't know it on TNG.
Olivia Diabo.
Yeah, she was signing autographs, and like that's a character that really meant a lot to a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
And so it must be really cool to like get to meet those people year after year. But also, if you want to be a working actor and kind of like your main line of life support is going to cons and signing
stuff.
That's not what you're set out to do in your career.
Also, your craft gets overshadowed by the genre, the character is bigger than you as the actor.
Yeah.
And that's going to be hard because you want to be appreciated for your acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you want your own identity too.
You want your own identity. Yeah.
But that
happens a lot with the comics sometimes.
That even happened to Nimoy. Like Nimoy like wrote a book
called
I Am Not Spock.
Yeah. And then he thought about it and said, I wrote a book called I Am Spock. But yeah, you get overshadowed by the intellectual property more than your skills. And that's got to suck. And they got skills.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart, you know, he has some skills.
Totally.
But he'll always be Picard to me.
Yeah.
Until he's Professor X.
That's coming, I'm sure. I'm sure they'll find a way to make that happen.
Yeah.
Any highlights from the con that you want to talk about, JK? Any cool interactions you had?
Yeah, I didn't really meet many people. Even the people I know from CBS are so busy.
Yeah.
Because we're in this weird Star Trek renaissance right now.
Yeah.
And that
it's
going to
be exciting for you, right? That there are so many new properties coming. Like there must be ancillary comics for all of them, right?
I'm not getting the knowledge I normally get. I'm getting like hints from people at CBS like, trust me, there's a lot coming. Just be patient.
And wow.
Like, tell me about it, you know?
I'll sign an NDA. I would love to sign an NDA.
I call John Van Sitters the blur because every time I see him, he's just whipping by. Oh, JK, it's great to see you.
That's interesting when put into the context of what Jeri Ryan was saying on her panel, which was like, you know, Picard was basically greenlit 2 years ago and we sat on it like until we could get all the production constellation stuff together. I mean, what's coming out 2 years from now that there already is a plan
exactly.
for?
Exactly. I was hoping to hear that there'd be a Pike story. You know, they kept hinting there was going to be a big surprise on the Picard thing, and I thought that would be it.
Right.
Like they were going to announce that they were going to do a Pike story.
Yeah.
Which they got to. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
they're
just,
gonna do
they'll
it.
Print, they'll print money if they do it.
Yeah, right? I'm sure they're already doing it. I don't have any inside knowledge about it, but I'm sure they are. They're crazy if they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they're just going balls to the wall with producing new stuff, but like having their their streaming app be like basically a Star Trek thing and only a Star Trek thing. Seems like a weird choice for a TV network.
Well, they also have like old Matlock episodes you can watch.
Oh, great. Cool. Finally catch up on all the young Sheldons I missed.
Yeah, it really is a shit app except for the Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, the only streaming app I have that's worse in terms of design than CBS All Access is the PBS Passport app. Just colossally bad. Like, you can't even find shows that are on it because they're not listed anywhere. But yeah, CBS All Access, close second in terms of badness.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta agree. I don't want to talk bad about it, but I agree. You know what they need to do is just have a Star Trek channel.
They need
on
to have
it.
A, they
so
need
you just
Star
go
Trek
right
channel.
To that because I don't watch any of that other shit on it.
What about you, Ben? What were the main highlights? Your main takeaways?
I really liked getting to, you know, say hi to a lot of friends of DeSoto. I saw a lot of t-shirts of ours walking around and not even necessarily like people that I got to talk to, but that was really cool to see the fingers of the Greatest Generation reaching their way into the convention.
Yeah. The moist tendrils.
Yeah. We get to meet someone from Women at Warp, one of the hosts of Women at Warp, which is a podcast that has been going since long before we ever started. And she was super nice and cool. And, sounded like she was having a great con as well.
Yeah.
And it was nice to like walk up to the Roddenberry booth and have it be like a cordial and fun interaction.
Say what you will about shows in the pocket. They are busy at things like this.
They really are.
They really work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder what the economics are of that.
Yeah.
Because we also got to spend a little time with Gideon Brower, who is the producer of the new official Star Trek podcast, and he is a great dude, and was really excited to see like he came to our meetup and got to, you know, kind of see what that's
nice
all about. And he's like, he's just here to soak up the game. Like, he's kind of
really easy guy to talk to too.
Yeah,
totally. Like, I was like nervous meeting a new person from CBS.
Yeah,
he just like put me at ease.
Yeah,
like, right away. Yeah.
Yeah, that was encouraging.
Yeah. How about you, Adam? Any favorite moments?
Just the people and the positivity of the thing is great.
Yeah.
Like, it really, for as late as you stay up and as little sleep as you get, like, that stuff really keeps you going. Like, everyone is really happy and positive and encouraging.
Yeah.
And it's just a trip to see people dressed up.
Yeah.
Like, it's better than Comic-Con in that way because it's just this narrowly focused thing.
Yeah.
It's much better than Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about that after you're done because I'm going to explain the difference between a Star Trek convention and a comic convention.
Yeah.
And it's because it's mostly panel-oriented. And you were talking earlier, too. It's more about the people connection they're focused on. They're not really dressing up the bars or anything, which is... I wish they would.
Yeah.
But I mean, it really, what is important is how people connect here, you know, and there's 6,000 people in one room looking at people on stage, listening to them just talk.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's a very different experience than Comic-Con, which that does happen.
Right.
But the focus is much less on that.
Right.
The dealer room is like, what, 5 booths? I mean, that's not really why we're here.
Right.
So it's a huge difference, a different culture.
Yeah. I kind of think that the success of the con is like entirely because of the fans. Like they make it so much of the positive thing it is. Like,
we're a collective.
Almost in spite of the way it's run. Like,
it feels so different from social media in that there's no one walking around the con with a disco shirt that says like, not my Star Trek.
Right.
It is totally absent of any negativity about any of the properties. And I thought there would be an outlier person who was that person, but there really wasn't.
No.
I can be that for you next year if you want.
Thanks, JK.
it's pretty cool. I would say that the omissions this year, I didn't see any Ferengi, and I definitely saw a lot last year.
Yeah.
Didn't see any Jem Hadar.
No.
Didn't see any Romulans, I don't think.
Hmm.
Plenty of Vulcans.
Saw more Loxana Troys this year than... I don't think I saw any last year, and I saw maybe 3 this year, which is fun.
Yeah. There was a great burn victim, Christopher Pike, going around.
Yeah. What a great cosplay, too. You never have to get
cosplay.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just... I would have a cup holder
in
an ashtray.
Have that. I saw a lot of pikes out on the casino floor, but they were just riding around in what looked like scooters.
Those things go fast, though. You know the big long haul when you're coming in? I see people go down like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking right by everybody. I'm like, I got to get one of those.
I wondered just kind of idly if there are ever like disability in Star Trek panels, because there seem to be like it seems like there are a ton of people with mobility challenges come to this, and it's like it's really cool to see so many people like able to come do something like this.
The diversity in a Star Trek crowd now, as opposed to when I was a kid, where it was like all middle-aged white men, and now you look around and it's a rainbow out there.
It's
a much more interesting experience than it was, like, say, in the 80s.
Yeah,
and Star Trek. For as many different kinds of people there are here, you don't see them forming tribes based on
who
or what they are. Like, it's a blended community of
Although I will
people.
Not hang out with Klingons. I don't like them. I never trusted them. I never will.
I'll never forgive them for the death of my boy.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just hope that this tape never falls into the wrong hands, gentlemen.
We are recording this with the door open.
How long were you standing there?
We do an embarrassing Star Trek podcast, and a big part of our success is owning that, being ourselves in all our embarrassing glory. But what if we didn't? What if we were just a Star Trek podcast? No embarrassment, no comedy, just Star Trek podcast. If you're somebody who wants a website, you could go generic and bland and one size fits all on a social media platform, or you could buy a custom URL and design a custom website with Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for all kinds of people to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. So whoever you are, or whatever you're trying to do, own it with Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/trek to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast, and we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second and go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
JK, did you have a drunk Shimoda of the con?
Incredible!
Drunk Shimoda!
Yes, I do. And I know just what it was. And you guys saw him. You were there. German Spock. I met German Spock.
I did not meet German Spock.
I love that guy. He gave me his business card. I'll show it to you later, but it's like a photo of him. And he was amazing. He was amazing. First, he looked a lot like he was spot on. Almost.
Was he West German or East German Spock?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we don't know.
I mean, socialist future, probably right. East German.
Yeah.
But I mean, not to undercut Canadian Spock. But Canadian Spock, we all know Canadian Spock. The really tall guy.
Yeah.
That looks like a Mad Magazine caricature of Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That guy's amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of Germans, there was an amazing papercraft model of the Enterprise E in the Quark's bar room. And we stopped to admire it. And there were two German guys who had built it, apparently. And we asked one of them, like, how they achieved one of the lighting effects, because the nacelles...
This precision.
Yeah. Well, it's like a... probably a 5 foot, 4.5, 5 foot long model, right?
And it does not disassemble. They ship it around in one piece.
They ship it in one piece, yeah. But the nacelles have that lava lamp effect on them. So like they're still pretty small. We're like, how did you guys do that? And he goes and gets like the component that they use to make the lighting effect, and he's like explaining it, and he's like, well, you know, we experimented with some. Different placements, and then we found this as the final solution. We walked away. I was like, Adam,
I get nervous.
I zoned out. What did that guy say the final solution was?
A lot of Germans here.
I don't know if you know how that translates in English, but it does not sound good, dude. Adam, did you have a drunk Shimoda?
Yeah, in addition to all the fun con hangs, I have been doing a fair amount of gambling, and the gambling does not go well, Enterprise. One of the ways that I soothed myself last night during a particularly blistering sit down at a poker table was there are massage people who walk around the casino and give massages. And for the very first time in my entire life, I got a gambling massage. So I was playing cards, and then you turn your seat backwards and put your neck on top of the back of the seat, and you'll get a 10-minute back rub. And that seemed like that's Vegas. There. It's a cocktail and it's gambling and a massage at the same time.
Do you know how awkward that is when somebody gets a massage in front of you because you just don't want to look at them in the
eyes? That's why
it's like
I did it.
Watching a dog have sex or something. Yeah. You're like,
the happy ending at the poker table is a pretty intense move to distract your opponents.
Yeah. Super fun to be in hands while getting a massage.
Yeah. My drunk Shimoda, I think, is Bill Tilly, our card daddy. He came out to say hi to us at the pool deck wearing a card daddy t-shirt that he custom made for this. And he has been walking around the convention giving out like stickers and trading cards and stuff to like anybody who will take them from him. And he printed them all up himself. He's like so down for the cause in a way that is just like, man, we really don't deserve Bill Tilly.
He sort of like made it a card daddy convention, a one person convention that he would take into the Star Trek
saying,
Las
like,
Vegas.
You know, like I don't want to just sit in the panels all day. Like I want to feel like I did something here. So he made it his job to spread the word about the Greatest Generation.
Yeah, that guy's great.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah.
And I keep bumping into him like 4 o'clock in the morning on a casino floor when I'm at my most absolute drunk.
That's great.
Yeah, poor bastard.
I'm sure he's saying the same about you.
Oh, man. Well, so I guess we don't really know what our next episode is going to be, do we?
No, I think we've got some ideas, but... Yeah, I think maybe we'll leave it a mystery.
Tune in a couple weeks for another great episode of The Greatest Discovery. JK, you've got a podcast of your own.
Yeah, I try not to talk about it, though.
Well, we're going to force you. Tell the people how to find it.
It's Go Trek Yourself. We used to be weekly. Now we're whenever. But we're kind of getting back into it now with the new shows coming on. You can find it on the Taylor Network of Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get it. It's called Go Trek Yourself. Look it up. We have a lot of fun.
Right on. And what's the best way for people to find your work in comics?
Go to a comic book store.
All right.
I'm most of my work is at IDW, but you can find that on the IDW has their own Comixology type app.
Okay.
Where you can pick up the books digitally for those that don't go to comic book shops. Otherwise, you can find it on Amazon, the collected trades. Just look under Star Trek.
That's great. We get killed in one of your comic books, and
you're getting killed again.
And we're getting killed in an upcoming comic book.
It's finally going to be exactly what you wanted.
Awesome.
And exactly what you deserve.
We're finally getting blown out of an airlock. We're going to be canonically airlock blown out.
Your work is so great. I really love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
It's really, if you haven't looked at JK's comics, like they're really spectacularly beautiful. He paints his frames in gouache, so they're like really like super photorealistic and moody and atmospheric and really great. So worth checking out, even if you're not normally a comics person.
Yeah, it got me back into comics. I was a lapsed comic person.
If you're a Star Trek fan and you're not reading the Star Trek comics, you're missing a
lot. You really are.
There is some of the best stuff that's done is in comics because we don't have to deal with budgetary constraints. We don't have to deal with, you know, we get to try new things because it's less expensive.
Right.
So you get things like Mirror Universe Picard, Leather Daddy Picard, as they call it.
And it seems like a lot of intentionality has been put into, like, Discovery Comics, like they're, you know, as canonical as they can be.
First time ever we actually have a synergy between the comics and the television show. And the movies, because we're working with staff writers directly. So, like, Mike Johnson is working with Kirsten Beyer.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're telling the stories in between the stories on the show, which is, makes it a much more interesting. It gives you some context that other viewers might not have.
Yeah.
So, definitely read the comics. I mean,
yeah, we've definitely found that out in our off-season episodes of this show.
Yeah.
Going back and reading the Discovery.
Really fleshes it, some interesting things out about the characters. And
totally worth it.
Yeah, so run, don't walk to your local comic store and support the work of J.K. Woodward.
J.K., thanks for being on the show, man.
As
love
always,
hanging out with you every time.
And I guess we'll leave it with Rob's from here.
The Greatest Discovery is a Maximum Fun podcast hosted by Adam Pranica and Ben Harrison. It's produced and edited by me, Rob Schulte, and our theme music is by Adam Ragusea. Thanks again to J.K. Woodward for joining us on this show. It's a lot of fun. If you'd like to support The Greatest Discovery, head on over to MaximumFun.org/donate. Or you can tell a friend, or you can leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcatcher you use. And when using social media, feel free to use the hashtag GreatestDiscovery. You can find Ben on Twitter at BenjaminAHR, Adam is at CutForTime, and I'm at Rob K. Schulte. Thanks, we'll see you in a couple of weeks with a new episode.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.